Vedic wisdom for modern business is the topic we've been given today. In the Bhagavad Gita, we learn there is para prakriti and apara prakriti. Simultaneously, there is the unchangeable reality. Changes are always taking place within creation. On a physical level, nothing is ever stable. What we see with our eyes is very gross. If you look under a microscope, you'll see that every little particle is constantly moving and constantly changing. That is how creation has been built. But underlying it is the eternal soul, the Atma, which is unborn and undying. And Krishna tells in Gita, yata yata hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, that the supreme truth, the cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists, who some call God, Bhagavan, Parameshwar, Paramatma, Krishna, who has many names, has descended into this world in many ways, at various times, and spoken the same eternal truth, Sanatana Dharma, according to the time, place, and circumstance. The container or package in which Dharma is given varies according to what people can understand and according to the needs of the time and the place. But the truth is constant. Just like a foundation to a building. You cannot see the foundation, but it holds up every part of the building. Whether it's a mosque or a church or a mandir or a corporate headquarters or a government headquarters, whatever the building shape may be, it needs a strong foundation. So Sanatana Dharma, these everlasting truths that remain relevant in all times, in all circumstances, is oftentimes forgotten, underestimated, overlooked, because we're so busy dealing with the ever-changing challenges of this world. But if we actually want to make a real difference in a way that's truly beneficial, to know the harmony between physical nature, the mind, the Atma, the living force that's within us, that's giving us the power of consciousness, and the supreme consciousness, or God, Paramatma, from whom everything emanates. To understand the unity and harmony between all these different aspects of life, and to live in that harmony, is actually the meaning of yoga or religion. It is Dharma. And it is the greatest need within this world. Dr. Desai quoted from the Ishopanishad, Isavasyam idam jagat sarvam, that this basic principle that everything is the property of the higher power of God's grace. And this is something very practical, because proprietorship means control. And we may have some control over some things, but ultimately, there are so many forces within creation that may take that away from you. If this is really my body, then I would never get sick. But somehow or other, there's bacterial people in the world that somehow or other invade us, and we get sick. If I had control of the body, I may not decide to get old. Who wants to get old? Children want to get old. But once they get old, they don't want to be old, and they definitely don't want to be older. And ultimately, every living being has to die. My guru, Srila Prabhupada, he used to say, when people want to make a point that something is certain, you say, sure is death. Special sound effect. So if this is really my body, then why do I have to die? If it's really my property, then how come I can't take anything with me at the time of death? If it's really my property, I wouldn't have to pay taxes. This body is divine property. And we are the caretakers. We are living within this body. And we have a divine purpose. And whatever wealth, intelligence, health, strength, fame, beauty, whatever we may have, these are all gifts. And to understand how to utilize whatever I've been given in harmony with the Creator. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna tells in Gita, I'm the father and mother of every living being. With this vision, we see everyone as our brothers and sisters. Whatever the race, whatever the sex, whatever the religion or no religion, whatever the species, wherever there's life, it is sacred. Every living being is a child of God. And every living being has the rights of being treated and respected as a child of God. And if we do not see it that way and utilize what we have in that spirit, then we're disconnected from our own selves. We're disconnected from the current of truth. In the Vedic literatures, there is very primary historical examples of the difference in the quality of our life and the effect we have in the world by how we utilize what God has given us. The Mahabharata. There are so many stories and so many philosophical teachings, but the basis of it all is Duryodhana and Yudhisthira. There was a kingdom. Duryodhana wanted to exploit it for his own selfish purposes. Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to utilize it in the service of God and all living beings. It's described that Yudhisthira Maharaj saw every single one of his citizens as his praja. That everyone is my child. A leader is one who is like a father or mother And all those people who are subordinate are my children. And he felt greatly responsible for everyone. And he understood that they are my children in the sense that they are all Krishna's children. And I am in this position on behalf of God, on behalf of Krishna, to be a caretaker of Krishna's children. And that's how he ran his kingdom. Now in Mahabharata we read Duryodhana, he was envious. He was exploitative. And ultimately, he took control over the whole kingdom. And Yudhisthira Maharaj was exiled. What was the difference? Yudhisthira Maharaj, he held the sacredness of Dharma above and beyond all of the wealth and power of the world. And Duryodhana, he favored the wealth and power of the world over Dharma. Initially, Yudhisthira Maharaj was exiled. Duryodhana had everything. But in the end, Duryodhana was vanquished. And he's infamous for the rest of history. One of the other great scriptures is Ramayana. The same teaching. Ravana wanted to exploit Sita. He put aside Dharma for the purpose of his own desires, his own power, his own pleasure. And his own brother, Vibhishan, he put Dharma above everything else. And he was also exiled. He had nothing. Ravana wanted to exploit Sita. Vibhishan wanted to honor and respect Sita and bring her back to her natural relationship with Ram. In the end, Vibhishan was made king and Ravana was vanquished. So Duryodhana and Yudhisthira were cousin brothers. Vibhishan and Ravana were brothers. But they had two different ways of looking at the world. One valued the temporary things and one valued Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, the true values of the soul. Neither Vibhishan or Yudhisthira Maharaj would ever compromise spiritual values. And what is the greatest value? Little Prahlad, we read about him in Srimad Bhagavatam. He was just a 5-year-old child. When he was in the womb of his mother, he heard the truth from Narada Muni. Now, Narada Muni is a renunciate. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have children. He doesn't have a house. He's always traveling around. Daksha cursed him. He's not allowed to stay in one place. But he was happy. If that's the will of God, let me be. Narada Muni bhajaye vina radhika ramana name. So Narada Muni is a renunciate. And the knowledge he spoke to Prahlad, let us examine carefully how it transformed him. Little Prahlad spoke to his father, Hiranyakashipu. I think we all know the story. He was a dictator. He was a person who he had knowledge of scriptures. He had gurus. But he interpreted everything according to his own arrogance. What is good for me? So he was exploiting, and he would destroy anything that came in the way of his own personal interests. And little Prahlad would instruct his father in the principles of Bhagavad Dharma, that ultimately everything is the property of God. Hiranyakashipu hated this philosophy. He decided to kill Prahlad. He tried in every way. And finally, when he couldn't kill Prahlad, he decided, I'm going to take my sword and I'm going to sever his head. And he said, Prahlad, you talk about this God, this Vishnu? I'm about to cut off your head. Where is your God now to protect you? Where do you get your power that you think you could defy me? And here is this gigantic dictator with a massive sword right over the neck of little five-year-old Prahlad. And he smiled. He fearlessly said, my father, I get my power from the same place you get your power, from Krishna. This was such an insult to his father. It was the ultimate insult. Hiranyakashipu said, then let us see, is he in this pillar? And Prahlad said, yes, he's in the pillar, he's everywhere. Then I will destroy him. Let us see if he can save you. And then he came to little Prahlad to sever his head, and Vishnu came out of the pillar. And ultimately, Vishnu asked Narasingadev, the Lord, asked Prahlad, you have done so much for me. I'll give you anything you want. Ask for any benediction. Little Prahlad, he said, why are you tempting me? I'm a devotee, I'm not a businessman. A businessman gives something with expectation of something in return, but a devotee just wants to give. Your pleasure is the only thing I want. Just let me be the servant of your servant of your servant. And then little Prahlad said, but if you insist on giving me something, give my father liberation. And as for me, I don't want liberation. Great yogis and sages, they go to the Himalayan mountains for their own salvation. But please put me where the people are, where people are in ignorance, where people are suffering. They are your children. Let me be there to help them. And then Prahlad was made the king. He was a self-realized soul. He became the emperor. It's not that in his enlightened state, he just renounced everything. He took serious responsibility of managing an entire kingdom for a long, long time. But what was the difference? His father, Hiranyakashipu, terrorized anybody who didn't harmonize with his egoistic ulterior motives in life. And little Prahlad, he was the servant of everyone. He honored and respected every living being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, what is an enlightened state? Amanina manadena. When we actually understand reality of how every living being is a child of God and everything is the property of God, it makes life so beautiful because we learn how to offer respect and honor to everyone. We may not like what they do, but we love them. The greatest potential within all of us is what we are yearning for. But we have forgotten what it is. We're trying to find pleasure, anandamayo byashat, in so many things. But it is a principle that in an evolved human society, people love people and use things to serve people. But unfortunately, due to being so distracted from our own well-being, we love things and we use people to get them and to keep them. We are so concerned with the quantity of what we have that we miss the point of the quality of life. The happiness everyone is seeking is to love and to be loved, because that's the nature of the soul. It's our potential. And when we connect to that love that is within us, it naturally extends through everything we say, everything we do, everything we have, in a spirit of compassion. The greatest joy to the soul, the greatest joy to the heart, is to find pleasure in being an instrument of God's infinite compassion. And this is the foundational basis of true education. Whether we're doctors, or whether we're engineers, or lawyers, or farmers, industrialists, entrepreneurs, politicians, teachers, mothers, fathers, or swamis, whatever our position may be, if we learn how to utilize that in a spirit of compassion, then we are tuned in to the eternal truth. And we can actually nourish not only the true pleasure of our own hearts, but we can enlighten others in that pleasure. The Vedic literatures have countless examples like this. Maharaj Sibi. He was an emperor. He had a palace. He had massive wealth. He had family. A little pigeon came to him and said, "You're the king and you're supposed to give protection to everyone, where I'm one of your citizens. Give me protection." And the king said, "Yes, I will give you protection." Now, a pigeon is quite insignificant compared to so many people in his kingdom. But he wasn't seeing everyone according to their rank. He was seeing everyone according to a spiritual vision. He said, "I will protect you." The pigeon said, "A hawk is about to eat me." The king said, "I will protect you." Then the hawk said, "Well, what about protecting me? I'm also your citizen, and my food is pigeons." Because hawks are not vegetarians. But Maharaj Sibi, he said, "I've given my word. The weight of that pigeon I will give you from my own flesh." He didn't say, "I'll give you from the flesh of my wife or my son or one of my servants." His own. And he put the pigeon on one side of the scale and started cutting his own flesh off and putting it on the other side. And no matter how much he put, the pigeon weighed more. So finally he sat with his whole body on the other side of the scale, and it weighed exactly the same as the pigeon. And Maharaj Sibi said, "Eat me." Now this is extreme. You cannot imitate.
But the principle is to be understood.
He was willing to sacrifice his life for Dharma. And what is the Dharma of the king? Not to be the controller, the exploiter, but the servant, even of the least among people. At that time, the pigeon, the hawk, they both became devas, demigods. And they bowed down to Maharaj Sivi and said, "We just staged this performance to show the world for all time to come what is a man of true Dharma." Because death will come. But what is the integrity of our life? Great personalities see this potential in us. And because they see it within us, they remind us of what our true potential is. A little example. This building that we're in today. All of the bricks are made from the soil, the earth, of the land that we're walking on right here at our eco-village. I think we've made about 250,000 bricks out of the dirt from our own ground. We don't import the dirt. We learned it, this art, from a lady named Chitra from Bangalore area. She taught us the great potential of the earth. Now, so many of us are walking on the ground and we don't really see that much value. But when we're enlightened, we see that we could take that same ground and we can make beautiful homes and buildings that will last for centuries. And they're baked by the sun. We just compress the earth, put them in the sun, and build a house. The potential of the earth. A farmer understands the potential of what can grow in the earth because they've been enlightened. And the sun is shining for everyone equally. We have solar panels here. Somebody taught us how you can give power to your whole community by just extracting electricity from the rays of the sun. What a beautiful art. I remember when I was a student in school, and as a teenager in the 1960s, we were really rebellious, because we didn't like what was going on in our country and the world. So we sometimes grew our hair or wore clothes that made us very obvious that we were living for a statement of revolution. It's called a counterculture. So a lot of our teachers really didn't like us. But I had one teacher, and this particular teacher, he saw something very valuable in me, and he appreciated me for that, and he really enlightened me. I really thought I could actually do something. And when I met my guru, Srila Prabhupada, he could appreciate that I could be an instrument of a power that could actually transform so many people's lives in a positive way. I didn't see it in me any more than an ordinary person sees bricks and houses in the soil or electricity in the sunshine. Vedic wisdom teaches us to understand individually and collectively what our potential really is. Najayate mriyate vakadachit. We are all eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. We are all brothers and sisters. The wonderful property that we are entrusted with is sacred if we use it for a sacred purpose. Wealth is not Maya unless we don't understand its purpose. Maya means illusion. Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. Knowledge, strength, fame, influence, property, money. This is all the energy of Lakshmi. It is sacred if we only understand that sacred potential within it and within us. And the Vedic wisdom, it could be spoken in many languages. The Bhagavad Gita is in Sanskrit. Our Guru Srila Prabhupada translated it into almost every language in the world. Doesn't matter what language. Doesn't matter what kind of cover you put on the book. The human body is composed of so many parts. We have lungs and pancreas and liver and heart and brain and arms and legs and eyes and ears. And each part of the body appreciates the contribution of every other part of the body. And each part of the body is there to nourish, to protect, and to give happiness to every part of the body. When you see something, your vision, you're seeing how to protect, how to nourish every other part of the body. The eye is not thinking just about me. And the heart just doesn't pump for itself. Every cellular particle of the body is being nourished by the heart. And the brain is giving direction. So the Vedic literatures, its wisdom teaches that the human society is like a body. It's God's body within this world. And Vedic wisdom is where we can see the potential, the potential unity of everything and everyone. And as Dr. Achyutananda was saying, not just understand it, but live by it. Theoretical knowledge, scientific information, is crucial because without it, it's like trying to get to a place we've never been without a map. We need direction. But even if you have the best map, or even if you have one of those GPSs, you may know exactly where to go and how to get there, but you have to go. Otherwise, you're just sitting home saying, I know all about this place. But if you actually want to experience the place, you have to get up and go. You have to apply that information. So this is the great opportunity we have. This Vedic wisdom is Sanatan Dharma. It's the essential universal principles that is foundational for the morality, the values, and the enlightenment of every culture and every religion. To connect to it, to understand it, and then to put it into our practice, we become transformed. We experience that seva, serving with compassion, watering the root of the tree by pleasing Krishna, by pleasing God, we can actually learn how to be a compassionate instrument of His grace in everything we do for everyone.
That is real satisfaction that we will find. And as we find that satisfaction, we become more and more enthusiastic, determined, and fearless
to share that satisfaction with others. That is our real life. And business, it's so much controlling the world. Most of the politicians, they're in power because of business people putting them there, facilitating them. Through business, whether it's small or big, is not important. It's the quality that is important. Dr. Achyutananda, he had so little, but he had compassion. And look what he's done.
My own beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he was a businessman.
He owned a little pharmacy, the Prayag Pharmacy in Allahabad and then Mumbai. But in his heart, like little Prahlad, he loved Krishna. And he wanted to share that love with the world through compassion. At one time, he was in Mumbai speaking to some of the biggest business people of Mumbai. And he said, when I left Mumbai in 1965, I had 40 rupees. And I left on a cargo ship, the Jaladuta. 38 days over oceans and continents. He was 70 years old. And when he came off, nobody wanted rupees in 1965. So literally, he had nothing. He knew no one. He was in a strange land. He never saw a winter and snow before. He said, but I wanted to share the greatest wealth, the wealth of Sanatan Dharma, the wealth of bhakti. And he said, and now I've come back and I have hundreds of temples all over the world and tens and thousands of followers from all over the world and have published millions and millions of books. He said, that was that 40 rupees that I couldn't exchange. Look at what that investment has done on this level. But nothing, he never considered anything to be his. Success, failure, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, these things are always coming and going. But the greatest opportunity we have is to see the potential within our own self.
To tune into that potential. That is why we chant God's names and follow these principles of bhakti and satsang, association with enlightening people. It tunes us in.
And once we become tuned in, through everything we do, we can be a transmitter of compassion, of grace. Thank you very much.